Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Press Start podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, James, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Brody.
Sorry, it does say James there. I forgot to edit that.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
There's like four Jameses on the team, so the odds were there. Shannon.
Hello.
Shannon, of course, not just Shannon.
The Shannon.
And Shannon, yeah. Yes.
If you will.
So they say. Anyway, so welcome to another episode. Thank you for coming. Today we're going to be talking about Nintendo buying a studio from the Embracer Group. Not much more embracing for them, it seems. Call of Duty being all but confirmed for a Game Pass launch, and Grand Theft Auto 6's targeted release window being confirmed. But first, let's talk about something fun and dynamic. A lot of press was like put out today about a blue Stellar Plate burger from Gammy Chicken.
So I've got mine in the fridge. If I knew we were going to talk about this, I would have presented my beautiful model one.
The notes were there, so it's still in the fridge.
Have you not eaten
got
it?
I got there was one for me to eat and one for me to make content with, if you must.
Well, let's do it.
Okay. Want to look behind the curtain, if you will.
Say,
go get it.
Scintillating peek behind the curtain. That is like so disgusting. So you're just going to leave it there and milk it.
It was on the table all afternoon and just continue on. Anyway.
So obviously we're in no way sponsored by this segment, but it's on the menu and you can go into the ring to win a PlayStation 5 if you order one. Shannon, you've had one. How does it stack up against other video game cuisines like the Modern Warfare Deluxe from Hungry Jack's? Yeah, yeah.
It was a good burger. It was a big bit of chicken. Like, I feel like they really pumped it up. Before. Like, you want it to look good in the, in an ad. So, it was a big bit, and I did try to film myself eating it. It just sort of fell apart in my hand. So, like, tasty, but a bit sloppy and massive. But the chips, I must say, were up
just
there with
like
schnitz
Stella
chips.
Blade. Just Stella Blade.
Right. Sloppy in the middle. It was a good burger. Good chicken. Good crispy chicken. And the chips are really good.
Impressed.
It's like $12, so I feel like that's quite reasonable for a chicken burger these days.
It is.
So why not?
Elsewhere.
Breast or thigh?
I don't know. I'm gonna breast. Yeah. I think. I don't. No. I don't. I don't really know my chicken pieces.
It's all probably got steroids in it, so it doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Yeah, true.
I can go grab it. We can dissect it together.
I could tell you. I could identify it right now. But
I believe it. Fine.
I don't know. But yeah, thank you.
He knows a breast
when he sees one. I know my breast and my thigh. Yeah. Anyway, enough about that. Let's move on to maybe the star of the show. I don't know. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 is out now. You can play it on Game Pass on any device that has Game Pass, I guess. Reviews also hit like an hour before the game came out, which is...
I think it was on launch, wasn't it?
It was on launch.
Oh, it was the same time. Wow. Yep. Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Dynamic. We've all very dynamic. We've all played it. Also dynamic. Brody, you reviewed it. Reviews have been like kind of mixed.
Skewing towards positive,
I'm not too sure. Yeah. I feel like not so much with...
They're positive, I think.
I think the meta is like 80 plus.
80,
still.
81 at last check.
I'm trying to predict the future, but... Oh, okay. So it might drop. But like 80 plus, which is still pretty good. Brody, though, we'll start with you. This is your baby. How did you find the game?
I liked it a lot. I basically preface everything by saying that I do think it is a safe sequel in terms of sequels. The issues I found with the first Hellblade were related primarily to the combat, which I felt at times was cheap. And then the runic puzzles in the world and stuff were largely pedestrian, pretty uninspired. They remedy those things to a degree, but they don't necessarily take any wild swings as a sequel. That said, everything they do, the whole audio-visual package that the game is, like the fidelity of the models, the animation, everything is, like, sumptuous, I would say. It's near industry-leading, probably the best-looking game that I've played on a console so far. The sound design, again, is phenomenal, like the Furies and all that sort of stuff in Senua's head. The soundtrack thumps, it slaps. I just, like, every part of the presentation of the game is great. I love that there's no UI. It's so immersive and cinematic. it like gives you everything that you need, like just through things in the world. So in terms of being like a visual action adventure game, which is what it is, like I think it's great. I think it's something that Xbox has been wanting, you know, to not that I think it measures up or is the same as something like a God of War or an Uncharted or anything like that, but it is that story driven third person game that they've sort of been hunting for. Again, I would have hoped that with Microsoft's backing, they might have taken a few more like broader swings at like sort of evolving the formula. But I think for what it is, I still think it's great that this game exists, and I think it's great for Game Pass. So yeah, like I loved it a lot. I can see why people would take issue with some parts, like it is a slow burn. It is sort of pensive and really introspective in that sense, and isn't the most action-filled game all the time. But I think everything it tries to say and everything it does say, I think just reminds me again how good Hellblade 1 was, and it makes me want to go back to that. But I think it is a good expansion on that story. In terms of the story, like again, it's great. I do love that they expand the cast out and give Senua supporting characters to bounce off this time. Yeah, all the performances are great. Yeah, not much else I can really, really say. You guys have obviously played it, James. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Like the thing that immediately struck me when I played it was I was kind of expecting. I know that this is probably a little bit cliche to say, but like you watch a cutscene and stuff, and there's always like a clear like kind of divide between when the gameplay starts and the cutscene ends.
Yeah.
But like I was like left standing there at the beginning, and I was like, oh, why isn't she moving? And then I'm like, oh, I'm meant to be playing.
Yeah.
And that kind of speak like the minimalism as well. Like it doesn't really teach you anything. I know the combat is quite simple, but there's nothing to. It doesn't teach you anything. Like it just like kind of lets you do whatever you want. Combat wise, and you kind of have to just work it all out yourself, which I kind of appreciated. I loved it. Like at the end of the day, like I think from a artistic standpoint, I think it's like super interesting. The direction is like next level. I genuinely think there is nothing like this on the market, you know, games wise. It is, for better or for worse, like obviously it is quite a simple experience in terms of game. Like I would call it maybe closer to being an experience than a game per se, because you are doing a lot of just walking forward, experiencing the story, and there are some I reckon there's what, 6 battles in the game total.
Yeah,
potentially
more, like with enemies.
Do you reckon more?
Yeah,
I reckon
maybe ten.
Like I feel like every time those happened, it was like at a very pivotal moment of an exciting moment of the story, and they didn't last too long. I feel like in the first Hellblade there were a lot of battles where like they just went for so long, like, and it was the same thing over and over again. And while there is arguably less, like, what's the word, I guess player agency in these battles, the way that it kind of mixes up the animations and the transitions and stuff made it feel quite dynamic, more so than the first game in my opinion.
I think that's probably the one area where, given this was in development for like 5 years, or that's when they announced it, and like it did have quite a lengthy development time. Like I did expect it to go up a level at some point. Not to say that the giant fights and stuff weren't cool, but I just thought there could have been more there if they were going to pad out one area. Like I think the combat and like the game element of it could have been elevated to add an extra 4 hours or so to make it. I just feel like, yeah, if you look at it as a whole, like you could have cut some of the really slow walking bits going through cracks and some of the puzzle bits. I think it was fine because it was a shorter experience, but I think we could have had something longer if they expanded on some of those elements. Given this is the second game, it just didn't add. It did everything better. I just don't know if it added a lot, but still fantastic as a production and as a whole. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I really did enjoy it. I was kind of shocked to see so many like people didn't. And I always say this about when we play games, like we play them, you know, in isolation. I mean, I know there's some groups where people talk about them beforehand, but like I stay pretty isolated from other people's opinions until my review's out. And it's just like, I just was like so happy with it. Like it really shocked me that when people really hated it, some people really hate it. But yeah, like I think especially, maybe, I don't know, I'm a very big horror person. In the middle of this game, there's a very, very good sequence, which is clearly inspired by The Descent, which is also one of my, like, favorite horror movies, like, ever. So, like, I just was vibing with the game the whole time. I just never really found it too tedious or cumbersome. That being said... Oh, go.
No, I love that bit too, but I just feel like, again, there could have been more of that. Like, they could have been four or five of those types of sequences, and I would have...
I just think the game is so, like, intense already. If you had to, I think it's a very fine... You have to fine balance all of that kind of stuff. Like, if it's all like that would be shit. You'd be exhausted. Like, it's already quite exhausting. Like, you've literally got the Furies in your ear the whole game on top of cutscene audio, dialogue and stuff. Like,
I don't know if I was the biggest fan of that, to be honest, as like it is a lot. It is a lot to play through. Like, I like the length of it. I'm just saying, like, looking at it, if I was critiquing it, like, I could have picked at that and just like how it did feel, like you said, not like, I literally just came from an experience watching it in a cinema, and I don't know, wasn't like dying to get the controller. Like, it still felt like it was fine just watching someone else play through it as an experience. But I don't know, it was fine. It was good for what it was, I think, if you just look at it for that.
Yeah.
It's not as if, like, it's on the shorter side, I didn't really feel either way about it. Like, it wasn't as if I was 50 hours and I felt like, oh, you just wasted my time. Like, it was fine. But I can understand how people maybe felt bored with it. I feel like the first half was kind of slower. It was everything felt intentional. Like, nothing felt like they didn't want it to be that way. But I definitely feel like the first half was slower, and then it was a lot packed into a few hours. And I think they could have expanded on what was there. Like, it wasn't that I didn't like it. It's that I thought there were some ideas there that they could have built on more, but then for me personally, like, I'm happy that it was a shorter experience that it's done. Like, for me to get through a game in 3 or 4 days is almost unheard of, so that's good.
I was stunned when I heard you'd finished it.
That's it. I didn't actually believe you.
Check his achievements. Okay.
Well, I don't remember who said it to me, that I was, like, nearing the end. I almost didn't believe that. But again, I was fine with that. But I just, like, couldn't believe, like, once it was kicking into gear, it was about to be over in a way. For better or for worse. Like, I didn't feel either way about it.
I think, like, that's where it kind of feels like the original game, I don't know if you guys remember when it was announced, that they were throwing around indie AAA, like, a lot. And this still does feel that way. Like, the scope of it is quite... like, indie, so to speak, but then, like, the presentation is, like, very AAA. Yeah, I don't know. I really liked it. I'm glad that I liked it, I guess.
The good thing about Game Pass is anyone can play it, and I guess if you don't vibe with it, you just jump off. But I think just stick with it. I can see a lot of people playing an hour and then falling off, or I think it's worth sticking with it and just getting... through it without it's not going to eat up too much of your time. So I think just make your way through it is the important thing.
I do like about it is I feel like it's less depressing compared to the first game. Like, it's still pretty, like, harrowing, but I feel like the first game is very much about, you know, she's carrying her dead husband's head to save the rest of him from Hela, and that's, like, obviously there's a lot going on there to unpack.
And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that the first one was also, like, a journey of solitude and isolation for her. Mm-hmm. Like, she was very much alone, whereas this one she does have, you know, a party that goes with her. And I feel like the game is in part, like, about her trying to find her way as, like, with who she is and, like, if she wants to be a leader and all that sort of stuff and where her lineage is going to take her and stuff like that. And I think all those ideas are very interesting. But yeah, definitely more not upbeat, but definitely not as bleak.
The supporting cast members and stuff are all very good. Like Thorgus. I just call him Thor. Yeah. Like, really cool arc. A little bit predictable, but still really cool. Just a little bit more to kind of explain stuff, and then you've got the other layer of the Furies in Senua's head while people are talking to her as well. Asking or answering the same questions that you have, which is really cool. I think that's, like, a really clever mechanic, I guess, I don't want to have that in every game, but it's not, like, kind of... I'm surprised it was never kind of copied from Hellblade 1 between, you know, the two games. Because it is something so unique. Yeah. I'm glad most of us liked it.
I liked it, but I can also kind of, if you were really looking for faults, I think you could find them, like, to be honest.
Absolutely, but I could, I mean, I could do that with any game, but yeah, like...
But you know what I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not for everyone. It's true not. Art is always going to create divide.
I like the fact that it's shorter true? And just, like, even if you finish it and didn't think it was a 10 or didn't love it, it's like you experienced something different. It was lovely visually and for your ears. I don't think you can be that upset, like, finishing it either way, to be honest. Like, even if it didn't blow you off the couch. But seriously, that.
You know, there was a moment that did blow me straight
off
the
Not a single
couch.
Game has done that to me yet, but...
Resident
day.
Evil.
No, not yet. Maybe.
Maybe remake for the 70 time.
So, obviously... Jumping on off that discussion, do we expect this to move the needle for Game Pass, and or does it even need to?
Yeah, so it's on the back of sort of, I guess, all the discussions we were having last week, whether Game Pass was going to still be viable for Microsoft, et cetera, the closures of these other studios, and they were going to invest more in, you know, bigger titles and stuff. There was a concern that something like this might not have a place on Game Pass, but again, like I said before, like, I'm glad this game can exist on Game Pass and is accessible. Like, I accept that Hellblade and Hellblade 2 are not mainstream titles. They're relatively niche. They appeal to a small audience, but if, you know, even an extra, you know, 100,000 people can find it through Game Pass, five people even, if it affects just one more person, it's worth it. But yeah, so... Look, it probably doesn't move the needle in the sense that it's not going to move growth and it's not going to, you know, put asses in chairs. But I think it's good that it exists on the service, personally.
I don't know. I feel like given this has taken 4 or 5 years and like a good amount of money's been spent, I wouldn't be surprised to see this come to PC and, well, not PC, PlayStation at some point. I think there'll be a lot of people that played the first.
And I think that makes that sense.
I think it does as well.
PlayStation, yeah.
I think it's that. Like Brody said, it's like it's a single player story driven game. I don't think it's on the level of God of War, Uncharted, or The Last of Us, but I think it's more of these will help.
Presentation wise, it is
definitely presentation wise. I just
obviously scope and scale is very different though, but
I don't think this game cost $200 million to make. Like, it's a team of 80 people versus what? How much would Santa Monica have? 200 people? 200, 300?
So, I don't know. I don't think it was cheap in that by that same breath. No. Oh, a lot of visits to Iceland and
Indy or anything like that, but it probably wouldn't have the same metrics or, you know, things that it needs to get.
I guess I think it's great. On the other side of the spectrum, a lot of like the, you know, Game Pass concern trolls are like always talk about how people don't buy games on Xbox anymore because of Game Pass. And if Game Pass didn't exist, and obviously this game retails at $70, do you think people would be picking it up?
No.
Yeah, it's a... I don't know, it's... Yeah, I thought it was 50, but that must be the US price, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. 70 seems stiffish for me.
Stiffish?
Stiffish.
Steep, do you mean? Or
stiff, I don't know. It's a lot. I think it's a lot. I don't know. Money is a weird thing.
Yeah. I mean, you find value in what you find value in, I suppose. But you could use the... Not to make a counter argument against a PlayStation game, but like Miles Morales.
Well, you are.
Also a very truncated, smaller experience that retailed for probably more.
$95.
So, yeah. So, I mean, do you justify that by the same measure? I don't know.
I don't really want to touch the comparison.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do think, like, we've talked about games like, say, Banishers that are $99, or like games that aren't these massive AAA, you know, powerhouses are not, don't pull people in with the way the market is now, especially. Yeah, I don't know. It's just something I thought. It was mainly a question for Shannon because I know he loves talking business and money, so.
I think it's fine, but it's a good value proposition for Game Pass, right? Like, I don't know the quick math in my head, but not much more will get you a year of Game Pass. So, it's kind of a no, like, you wouldn't want to make it too cheap because I guess they want people to be on Game Pass. So, from that point of view, it makes total sense. And if it does come to PlayStation, if you're getting $70 a pop, good for them. Absolutely. I think if you're gonna get your money's worth if you go through it, and then you can trade it or sell it. I don't think there's too much of a reason. Well, it's not physical, is it? So you're actually stuck with it for life. I take that back.
I think when the first game came out, it was about $43. Just looking now, so inflation, shrinkflation, maybe even. But
speaking of people getting their money's worth, Nintendo are certainly getting their money's worth out of Embracer Group, aren't they, James?
Absolutely. Thank you for backseat hosting for me, Brody. Appreciate it. So Embracer is pretty keen to stop embracing other companies' portfolios, whatever. And this morning, Nintendo announced randomly that they will be acquiring Shiver Entertainment, with whom they've worked previously on some Switch ports. I think the two big ones are Hogwarts Legacy and Mortal Kombat 1. And sure, while that port was shit, it's getting better. So, like, it's getting better every day.
That was my first thought as well.
Whatever. They also did Mortal Kombat. I think they did Mortal Kombat 11, which is also considered to be a very good port. So, look, I trust Nintendo in this way. Sometimes I don't, but yeah. So, in a world full of shutterings and layoffs, surely we take this as good news. Nintendo has given the group a home, right? This has been phrased as a question in my notes, so thought I'd...
Yes, it is good news.
Yeah, cool. It is good, right?
It is a relief. I don't know a lot about Shiver, but apparently they've been around and working with Nintendo since 2012, so they've obviously got a long working history and they see value there, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. It's interesting. Nintendo doesn't acquire...
A lot of people.
Too many companies at all. Especially,
not a Japanese company.
We're being idiots, right, about, like, Mortal Kombat and Hogwarts not running the best, but, like, to get those games
Hogwarts
running at all.
Hogwarts is fine. It's like,
Can I finish my point? To get those games running at all is a challenge in itself with what they're working with on the Switch at this point. So, like, there's obviously talent there. And I think we've spoken at length about, like, how Nintendo has totally lost third parties. And, like, I think they need to go after them again in a big way with the Switch too. It'll be interesting to... Like, would this be just a support studio? Like, will they be supporting other third parties? Will they be porting Switch games to the Switch 2? There's so many questions.
Well, I think
I can see that you post in the next question.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think the Hogwarts Legacy, like, the fact that Hogwarts Legacy even runs on Switch is, like, I mean, pun not intended, but magical. So. But yeah, like, I think it's a good team to have, because, like, let's just say, like, Square wants to chuck, I don't know, Final Fantasy Rebirth on the Switch 2 in the future, and they need a team who's kind of very familiar with the architecture. Like, they've kind of got them, you know?
They've got Shiver.
There's no need to Shiver when you've got Shiver. But yeah, I think it is... kind of, it's almost like how Sony has, is it Nixus? Like, for the PC ports, supporting side of things, like, you have this, like, doesn't take away resources from anyone else. You have this dedicated studio who can kind of help your games be on Switch. If you're struggling to get them on Switch or whatever, which I think is really good for, say, Square Enix or anyone else.
Nintendo's going to be in an interesting position, because I feel like if they are moving to 4K, and already their games are beefed up, and I think they've spoken at length about how, like, they weren't prepared for these bigger scale games, I think they're going to have to even go further, whether that just be hiring up or acquiring. Like, they're probably the one company that still can throw some cash around. At other studios. I don't know who.
I don't know if we need any more buys, but... Yeah.
This studio is suffering, just waiting for the call from Nintendo, I'm sure, at this point.
True.
It's good news. I think I trust Nintendo.
To summarize, before we move on, I think it is an interesting indication that they're going to be a little bit more serious about third party, maybe more than they ever have been going forward. So, yeah.
Exciting.
Also, I just had a thought. What if they just want to keep supporting Switch 1? So all these Switch 2 games come out and then they give them to Shiver to make work on Switch 1. That could also be a thing.
That'd be a pretty shit job, God, I think. Yeah, that... Well,
I mean, you say that's a shit job, but that's what they've been doing for like the last...
I know.
They're like, really in the trenches at that point.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Speaking of waiting and seeing, we will have to wait and see until God knows when to know about whether or not the next Call of Duty is going to launch on Game Pass, but... rumors suggest that it's probably going to happen, but I feel like this changes every week. So, but recent reports from various outlets, including The Verge and The Wall Street Journal, have suggested that the next Call of Duty is indeed expected to release day and date on Game Pass. This comes on the heel of questions over Microsoft's commitment to the services and whether a game as lucrative as Call of Duty should be put through that grinder. Sorry, Brody wrote this, so it's not how I normally speak.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what you wrote.
What? Like, bull. No. Yeah. I didn't write
that. Anyway, it's a real team effort here. So, team. Presuming this is true, do we take this as affirmation that Microsoft is, for the time being, backing Game Pass despite an apparent lack of growth?
Clearly. Yeah.
I saw someone say that if COD isn't enough... if COD on Game Pass isn't enough to get PlayStation users over, you may as well give it up and change your strategy. And I kind of agree with that. Like, if that's not enough to push people over, then, yeah, I don't know what will be, to be honest.
Do you think with... And this sort of ties into what I sort of had floating around for the next question, but with... I saw like a statistic or heard a statistic that apparently 8% of Call of Duty players are on Xbox currently. So it's like... a very slim market, or a very slim slice of the market. Knowing that it's still going to... Yeah, very small. Less than 10.
Entire that's, games market that's two at less this than 10. Point.
Knowing that it's still going to obviously sell very well on PlayStation, it's not like it's exclusive to the Xbox thing. Do they even really... Like, is Call of Duty going to be the thing to move Game Pass? Like, not many people are going to come across from an ecosystem they're already in to suddenly pick up on Xbox. Because a lot of COD players just play COD. So it's not financially viable for them to sub for a year and pay more than what they would on PlayStation.
Not only that, like, if you're only playing COD, like, you're just never going to move over. Like, I know a lot of people who play COD.
Stuff, yeah.
But, well, it's got cross-play, but it's not even that. It's just the controller. It's that you're just not going to get an Xbox for it, in my opinion. But I did see something else online that sort of said... more people playing COD is going to make them more money, theoretically. I don't really know how much people spend on battle passes and stuff, but like if you're playing that for free on Game Pass and buying a battle pass, you're making potentially more money than if someone wasn't playing COD at all. So I'm sure they've crunched the numbers and that could be more of a business model, but like it's still a risk given you're giving up $100 a year every year upfront.
We've got to remember as well, they've committed to bringing this to Nintendo consoles as well with parity, so good luck to them with that. But
was that the same COD, though? I thought they just said a Call of Duty game.
No, I thought they said...
Because I can see them...
I thought they meant CODs going forward, but maybe it is Warzone.
Black Ops 1 from the Xbox.
The Wii version, like, ported over. No, I always thought it was COD Mobile. Like, I thought that's, like, where they were going with that, because the architecture
is similar. At least the multiplayer, like, runs on anything. Like,
well, now with Shiver, they can get
any Shiver's COD on campaign. The case.
Yeah,
they are. It's such a hard one. I don't know. Like,
it feels like too... Like, I know too little, too late, and this is, like, such a big... It's when I say too little, that's such a big thing, though. Like... I just think they're too far in the dumps now to kind of recover from anything, personally, as like horrible as that sounds. But like, I think I was talking to Shannon about this earlier in the week, as we always do, about nothing.
Of course.
But like, I feel like with COD, like, there are games where they come out on Game Pass, but they don't make somebody magically just buy an Xbox. Like, they're already kind of really set in their ways. Like, you have to really, really, really... like take this almost holistic approach to getting people to kind of change ecosystems, especially like this far in where PS4 were dominated so much. Now PS5 is as a result of that. COD being on Game Pass.
It's not just COD being on Game Pass. I feel like a lot of people don't know Game Pass exists or what it is. So like they're going to have to spend a lot of money on marketing to really educate. And like, there's no better game than COD again to make people pay attention. But like, I just feel like as much as we all say how good Game Pass is, like either people don't understand what it is because Xbox hasn't had a lot of day one games or first-party AAA games to come to Game Pass on day one, or they just don't care for the reasons you've just spoken about. They just play COD or GTA or FIFA. Whatever. And it's
FIFA.
Just, it's,
like,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's the market they need, like the masses, which is those people.
Your casuals.
So I don't know. Again, I think it's a, like, I don't know what other play they have. I think it's a good move for them to try it. I guess COD, it's not going to hurt COD, I don't think, so they can always, like, roll it back and change it, or maybe it'll be on a more premium service. Like, we don't have enough of the picture, but yeah, I want to trust they know what they're doing and have crunched the numbers.
Mm.
Either way, I agree, though. As crazy it is, I don't know why it doesn't work. It does feel like no matter what they can do, it's just never going to be enough.
It feels like, it reminds me so much of like Wii U, like where you just, that every,
but a never ending like, Wii U.
Yeah, yeah, like two generations now. Like, just like how there's like this, like, next game will be like the one that saves the platform and then it never does. Like, I've lived this before. I and it's like tedious and, yeah, literally.
Do you but, think, go on, sorry.
Well, Shannon obviously just said like,
premium.
It's something about, it's the, like their only play. Another potential play that some people have floated is that there might be another tier of Game Pass being added where COD will be included. Like, do we think that would happen? And like, if so, like, how much is too much?
Yeah, I hope they don't do that, because I feel like that would just, again, confuse the messaging, make people more unsure about what they're getting with Game Pass. I can see them, once they put Call of Duty in there and all their back catalogue and all the other games from Activision Blizzard, like, I can see them just hiking the price in general. Monthly, and just, yeah, putting it up to, what is it currently for Ultimate? Is it like 26, 27 bucks?
Oh, isn't that like Australian? 19 a month?
I thought it was like 27 Australian, but I might be wrong.
It got a small price increase a while ago, didn't it?
Yeah, like, I could see them easily putting that up to 20, 25 or something like that. And
so 1 month of Ultimate in Australia is 19 bucks.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
3 months is 57.
I could see that going up. Personally,
yeah,
everything is going up. I guess again, it's weighing it up. Like, do you want to make a few more dollars per month, or do you want people to remember that they have it and then cancel it, and then you're losing people that way if they're reevaluating?
Yeah, like Netflix.
Yeah,
bloody $27 a month now.
They're on the track for 4K. That's worse
Amazon.
Than Amazon. That's worse than Binge or KO.
Yeah,
KO is out of control.
Yeah, anyway. Wild. Yeah,
we're not sponsored by KO, obviously. So no,
I'm excited to see. I think this is the turning point. Like, or again, I know we spoke about this last week, but now that we have sort of confirmation, like, I think this is going to be a big focus of their showcase and the redacted part of that. And I hope that they communicate their plan as normally as possible.
Mm. I just feel like we talked about this. Yeah, like the bare minimum. Like, please communicate something. And then they never do.
Like, I hope they actually speak about it and the benefits and like what that means. It's not just like not spoken about and then it's on the store as is. Like, I would rather they own it and talk about how it plays into the strategy of everything.
I think definitely I would be really surprised if they introduce another tier, because I don't know how you market that. Like, what do you call it? Like, Mega Ultimate, but then the also COD. It just includes COD. Like, that's kind of weird.
COD Pass.
Unless the idea is like, it includes, I could, now that I'm talking about it out loud, if you're that person who does just play COD, you pay this Game Pass and you get, say, like a battle pass and then like this giga battle pass that's exclusive to you or something.
And then you get your COD bucks.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, or maybe they top your account up with like 500 COD bucks every month or some shit. Like, I can maybe see that being a thing where it's just for the COD player. But I don't think it's going to be like an extra tier.
It could be a cheaper tier.
Just don't mess with a good thing, I'd think. I don't know. It's risky.
Too late now. They've been bought. Like, it's six. How many billions of dollars? Like, it's been well and truly messed with. Like, the industry at large has been messed with.
Well, so. Might be the last COD.
It's... Yeah.
Shannon longs for a time where we had Bobby. Bobby at the helm. Yeah. Get him back.
That's a.
Speaking of Rockstar.
Bobby is not a rock star.
I know. That was
like that's the most reprehensible thing you've ever seen.
I mean, to end the note, I'm excited for June. I think
to end the note.
My God, I think all three of the big three are in different positions. I feel like there's a lot of unknowns. I'm keen to see what what that holds for all of them.
I'm ready to talk about a video game again. For I'm so sick of talking about business and industry and shit. I want to talk about video games. That's the fun bit, you know? I know we just did, but obviously it was hard because Shannon hated it, so. Anyway, moving on. Brody would like to combine two news stories from last week here. Yeah, no, you can read this. Yeah,
I'd like to combine two stories from the last week here because it relates specifically to Shannon and I. So, not only has Rockstar effectively confirmed the release window for GTA 6, which is apparently Q3 next year, for those playing at home, 2K has also suggested that they're revealing a sequel to a much beloved franchise next month. Now, Shannon, do you have any concerns that this is going to be Bioshock and that your bet with me, Brody Gibbons, is about to spice right up? What else could it be? It's got to be the shock. Tell me it's the shocker.
Big Daddy, come at me. There's signs of life for you finally after years of nothing.
So it's been a long time.
I'm keen for that.
I don't know.
It has been a long time.
I don't know what Cloud Chamber have been up to, but, they've been in the trenches. They've been getting...
If it is Bioshock, James said, we're finally going to get back to some of these great franchises that were there in the early 2010s.
It's time.
When did I say that?
You said that you wanted to talk about games again, and I feel like these huge players that we've been missing for a long time.
Yeah, James, no, that's fine.
Where do you come down on it? Do you think it's going to be Bioshock?
I heard you wanted Civ.
Borderlands. Is that with 2K still, or is they bought that back off Gearbox, didn't they?
They did, or something.
Or Embracer, who knows?
We've had enough, I think.
Yeah. Tell me it's the shock.
Had enough of what? No, trying to tee enough. I reckon... I think this is going to... I think you need to really temper your expectations.
No.
And get ready for this to be a PC-only Civ game. But I think if we just want to dream for a bit, Bioshock, why not?
It's been 5 years.
It's been...
Since they announced they were working on it, though. Yeah. It's time for something.
But games take so fucking long now. This is the problem.
Especially
and
when
then
you
they
reboot
might...
them four fucking times.
Yeah, literally. They might have, started... It was probably a live service game, and then they saw Suicide Squad, and they're like, oh, fuck. We're gonna go back.
Let's start again in February.
Like Jack from Lost Style. We have to go back.
Oh, no.
I don't know. What was my contribution to that bet? I feel like I added an extra caveat recently. I can't remember what it was, though, because I was excluded.
I don't know. If you can think of some, I'm happy to take a bit of side action.
Go in.
Exactly. I think it was something very James-like. I think RE9 will come out before both of them.
Oh, that's probably safe. Capcom are fucking rolling in cash in their chair and shit out left, right, and center.
RE4 will be remade again.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay.
But
we'll get a Last of Us remake before that.
Obviously. Obviously, I'll temper my hopes about Bioshock, but otherwise, how do we feel about GTA 6 being... back end of next year? I think we all sort of hoped it might be front half of next year, maybe Marchish, but
expected.
Where's that fall? September, October, November? It's one of those months.
What's that? 3, 6, 9. So July, August, September next year. So that seems reasonable.
I think it's going to be Q4, right? I don't think it'll be...
I think they've said fall.
They've said Q3.
They've said fall, which falls into September, October, November.
Given we all thought it could be releasing this year, originally, it's a long time away. And then I think there's always a possibility with delays. I don't think they're going to rush it. It just feels forever away in this day.
October. I can see them doing that. And it's going to be like that. Do you remember last time when Red Dead was happening? Everyone was moving their games around Red Dead. Yeah. I feel like we're going to see that happen. So if
it comes
GTA
out in September,
October,
nothing will come out for the 2 months after that.
Yeah, 2 weeks either side, people will not launch. Which is not many games have that power, but GTA definitely does.
I think it's fine. I do hope they speak about it a bit throughout the year. I don't know if we're going to get another trailer this year, but I do. Game Awards, once we start hearing more about it, it'll feel real.
Don't you reckon though? It's one of those games you have to market.
Definitely,
I do, but I feel like they will at some point.
They could shit on a disc, and everyone would be like. Spending $120 on it, no questions asked.
Well, yeah,
as long as it has online.
They should remaster Rockstar Table Tennis.
Yeah,
I'll play that again. Anyway.
That's interesting. Anyway,
on that note,
speaking of table tennis, during the week, Toy for Bob's website splash page was replaced by a suspicious purple tiki mask, suggesting an announcement of sorts isn't far off. This is our week. This is this week's rapid fire question. So
bear with us.
I put to both of you. Huh? What?
No, disregard. Go on.
Yeah. Well, too late. It's been well regarded. Of the things they could be teasing, what do we think it is? A new Crash, a new Spyro, or a mere studio rebrand?
I think it's a rebrand. I think
he does.
I think they're announcing nothing except for a new logo for themselves.
I don't know if that's like, why would you do that? Because no one
tried.
It's not important to a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't feel like to be a public facing tease campaign. So what has to be
not a splash page. I think if it was like August, yes, I would believe that. But given we are 2 weeks away from where you would expect they would make an announcement if they were going to make the announcement, I think it would be weird to do this when you've confirmed that your next game is going to be for Xbox exclusively.
Is it exclusive? And they own,
oh, I don't know. They're making a game for Xbox, and Xbox owns Crash and Spyro, so...
Yeah, okay.
Just laying all the facts on the table.
Yeah. Then there's no room for me. That's speculation, just facts. I think, like, that would be pretty cool, like, if they were to do a crossover. I think...
I don't know I'm how surprised. It would work.
I'm surprised they want to do anything with Crash after fucking Crash World Smash Champ, whatever that game was. I feel like that bombed real hard.
Never played it. Never even thought about playing it.
Nobody did, so you're not alone. I'd be surprised they want to touch Crash again. But I feel like a crossover would be good. Like, I feel that kind of captures a lot of people. People love Spyro. People love Crash. You could do some cool shit with both. Maybe chuck in some Tony Hawk for fun. Who knows? but yeah, I know this was rapid fire, so I think it's both.
Yeah.
All three. I
think it's... I'm definitely... I don't know. Spyro, I feel like, was next, but I don't know. I feel like it'll be both as well in some way for Xbox, which would be a big win.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Not long to find out.
Well,
no.
Speaking of winning, I won What the Wiki last week, so I'm hosting this week, which is exciting. If you're not sure what it is, What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game and the contestants must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess and the round ends after one person scores 2 points. As last week's winner, I'm in the hosting chair, as previously mentioned. I'm currently leading on 17 points. Ewan is second on 13 points. Did you update these, Brody?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Shannon is third on 11 points. Brody and Kieran are together, sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, with 10 points. And Harry is on 5 points. So, exciting times. This was a very haphazard round, so hopefully we get there.
No.
These
aren't, just to be clear, these aren't Mark's favourite games?
No, so no family members were consulted in picking these games. They just came out of my...
brain.
Mind. Yeah, so...
The Furies sent them to you. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Got many. Okay, we ready?
Yes.
The game is an action role-playing game where players control characters in a third-person view to explore the surroundings and engage in combat. From the start, players have a choice to play the game as either one of two lead protagonists, a young woman named Ellen or a journalist named Keach.
No.
Ellen.
Are we going? Are we still going?
Yeah, go.
Both having different yet intertwining plots and playstyles. The game is split into two worlds, the real world, set in the small seaside Irish village of Doolin, and the more fantastical netherworld inhabited by folk creatures and spirits. In Doolin, players lead their chosen character. I knew that would get you. I didn't know why.
In Doolin.
Players lead their chosen character throughout the village and surrounding area. While in this state, characters are unable to engage in combat or utilize their abilities and instead be limited to exploring the village. This is boring.
Brody.
Yes, Brody.
Dooley.
Is this Banishers?
It's not Banishers. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
That's not set in Dooley, unfortunately. Yeah. When characters pass into the Netherworld, the gameplay shifts entirely towards action-adventure side of the genre. Basic attack techniques are performed by utilizing folks, various creatures and spirits that upon defeat can be absorbed by the player's use. When a folk is nearly defeated, its spirit will glow red, allowing players to absorb it by locking onto it and performing shaking and yanking motions with the six-axis controller.
Oh.
While the player can choose from nearly
Shannon,
all the
Shannon, it's... Is it... Oh, I don't know the name. Is it Folklore?
It is Folklore.
It is Folklore.
Congratulations.
Great
game.
One of
my favourite... Yeah, I loved that game so much.
Never heard of it.
And we're never getting another one. So
no.
Yeah.
No more Dooley.
That is haphazard.
No more Dooley.
For anyone.
Yeah. So Shannon's on 1 point. Will he get the sweep? Who knows?
Possibly.
Would be big. Mm.
Very big. XL even. The game is divided into two types of gameplay. The first allows the main character to walk freely and interact with their surroundings. These parts focus on either story via voiceover, as the main character travels from one location to another, or the resolution of a puzzle or challenge of some kind to progress further. The main character can also use a capacity known as focus, in reference to their tendency to see things different from other people due to their condition, to trigger puzzle-related events. If the main character uses their focus on totems hidden throughout the game, it triggers a memory via voiceover.
Is this Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice?
It is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice.
Boring, honestly.
What do you mean?
Dooley.
Dooley.
Go next. Borzo.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You're both going to be quick on this one.
Oh.
The game features a perk system which allows players to customize their characters with passive abilities that will also affect their partners in teams. These include signature perks which are exclusive to specific characters and directly affect their attributes and abilities. If players in the same team equip the same perks, those perks are enhanced. The game is a fighter with players battling on different stages and attempting to knock
Shannon.
The opponent... Yes,
is it Multiversus?
It is Multiversus. Congratulations, Shannon.
Thank
a win
you.
For you, finally.
Yep.
Mm.
Sorry,
into
Brady.
Equal second for me.
I appreciate the charity of Hellblade.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
We've all played it. I thought that was a very reasonable
Multiverse.
One.
It was too obvious, I think.
Hellblade.
I definitely haven't
Sorry.
Played Multiverses, but anyway.
No, I thought you might have...
You're missing out.
No, well, maybe.
You are.
I don't play fighting Ooh. Games. So, what do you want me to do?
You don't need to. That's the beauty of it. Mm. But we'll talk about that next week.
I look forward to it. Next week on the Presto podcast.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Post-credits scene. So, congrats, Shannon. You win. Which, actually,
Put
you're
you
going to be... Yeah, wowee.
And
who would have thought?
Big.
And me
We're coming.
Third place, technically. Exciting.
We'll have to have some tiebreakers if that were to happen, though.
Absolutely. Which would put me back and forth. But that's okay. That's okay.
No, we don't know. We don't know that.
A long way
anyway,
to go. Long way to go.
That's enough. Okay. So with that, let us bring an end to this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice and follow us at press.au or visit the site at pressstart.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Oh, thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty. Go watch my little Hellblade video after reading Brody's review.
Please.
Somebody told me they liked it. Just so you know. Some
His
feedback.
Video or my review?
Not your review. They don't read much, so they...
They yeah. specifically said your review was shat.
Mm.
No, I liked... I read his review, and I was like, yes. Just saying that to myself, whispering the whole time.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
I was like, absolutely.
Nice.
I
appreciated the
well,
little shout-out
you.
In your System Shock review. Thanks for that.
Yep.
The little link
no
back.
Problem.
Appreciated that. Everyone go read that as well, please.
Yeah.
Console review.
Absolutely. Just for that sentence.
Yep.
I use the word penetrate. That's all you need to know.
Penetrating. Absolutely.
Anyway, I've been your host, James. You can follow me on X at jamsatjmz. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next week, happy gaming.
Bye. Bye.